black on black, black. Yeah, hey. Okay, black, 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 black on black, black, my thoughts so black.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the truth. Welcome back to the Grapevine. I'm your host, Manon Severe, and you're on the award-winning Truth 101.7 Radio. And let me connect the dots for you right quick. This week alone, they're squeezing the last grocer in Sherman Park. They're loosening the rules on our babies and Head Start. Our beaches are closed. Our beaches are closed, y'all. Somebody dumped sewage in our water. We're going to talk about that later. Our beaches are closed. They dumped tons, like a couple billion gallons of sewage in our water. Do not go to the Milwaukee beaches. Done. Closed. Finito. Finished. Don't jump in the water. Go play some volleyball or something. Run the entire length of the lakefront. Go to another part of the lake. Go up north somewhere. You got Port Washington. What's that other place? Sheboygan. You know, some of those other places. Go up the coast. But right now, Milwaukee, done. You cannot go into the lake. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But first, we're going to continue on our conversation about black-owned businesses. Black-owned businesses. Breaking in $200 billion per year. $200 billion per year. There are close to 3 million black-owned businesses in America right now. And do we really, the question before we left off, the question is, do we really need to name our businesses black-owned businesses? Does that really matter anymore? Does black-owned business matter anymore? Does that mean you just, man, I'm a black-owned business, you open up? It's like Walgreens going to a neighborhood and just opening up. Let me just open up. Nah. That's not enough. That is not enough. I don't think black-owned means that you solved, a problem is solved. Is the food incredible? Is the service faster? Is the product healthier? Is the experience better? What makes me come back after we celebrate that you're a black-owned business, now that you're open? Now, some of y'all are probably saying, man, Manon, white-owned businesses never have to hide that they're white. Hey, I think you're right. Others are probably saying black-owned is not a exclusion, it's just information, possibly. And some of you are saying if people refuse to shop somewhere because it is black-owned, that is their racism, not the owner's branding problem. Morally, you're probably absolutely right. But a business owner still has to decide whether the goal is to make a moral statement, build community institution, dominate a market, or somehow accomplish all three. Triple bottom line. Yes, you need to, okay, I see, I can understand. Building a moral institution, building a community institution, and dominating your market share. Those are very, very hard truths that come to light when you own a business, especially if it's black-owned business. And so in the chat, Rose Young Lion says that I ordered food from a Jamaican restaurant through DoorDash. The manager made the mistake on the menu. I called to ask about the incorrect order. She first gave me the wrong number. I called back. She hung up on her three times. Okay. I went there and the mean manager, these are very choice words. The mean manager came out but did not correct my order. Instead, he and the cashier lady talked about some needles to say I left. So how do you support people like that? I don't know. Yeah, please don't leave the needles. If you left some needles, you probably had, you probably are a health worker. So how do I support people like this? You know, all I say is if I were in that position, in that particular situation, I would offer my support. I would offer my support. And there is a level of compassion that people do have when you are a Black-owned business. Maybe that's a part of the moniker, too, is when you do have the moniker of a Black-owned business, there is some compassion you have to have because, you know, there are barriers to opening, but barriers to entry. However, that does not exclude you from having quality service. That does not exclude you from, you know, working overtime to make sure that you have quality presence and morality inside of your business. If you go to Chick-fil-A, everybody has been to Chick-fil-A. Everybody, or you have heard about the service at Chick-fil-A. Every time you get a Chick-fil-A sandwich or ice cream or fruit cup, whatever it is, you could order a ice water, and they'll be like, "My pleasure." They would say, "My pleasure." They're not hanging up on you. They're not. They're giving you access to vulnerability. They're giving you access to them being helpful and humble. They're giving you access to them. So, yeah, I would suggest, and I wish before I came off the break, is I would suggest for people such as yourself to go to those businesses that you are comfortable with and offer your service. If you are a business owner and you want to offer your service in terms of volunteering or helping them clean up afterwards, do that. And if they refuse, then that can be the last straw. Now, you may not want to go that far, but there are a lot of business owners that will accept individuals that can come in and knock that out. They're not looking, as long as you're not looking to be a part of their staff and you want to help, I'm pretty sure that they would more than willing to do that. LaRon Taylor says, "I never advertise that my business is Black owned. It is not in the name. I pride myself on having the best product and service. Nobody knows I'm the owner unless they follow my social media pages. I have no ego to bruise, just like Spock." All right, I got you. Yeah, that's right.
Bruh.
I know. Just like Spock. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, a lot of people. Okay, LaRon Taylor says, "Also, it works the other way because the business is Black owned doesn't mean you can go in there and act a fool. Act the same way you are at a white business because you know." Well, what about it? I mean, that's true. Or act the same way you work you would at a Chinese business or Laotian business or Pakistani business or, you know, Latino business, whatever. Like, you know, wherever business, act the same way you would at every spot. At every spot. Now, it's important to remember that if we did have a strong central core unit of people that control the moniker, the term Black owned, and I believe even early on that we were trying to do that with Bronzeville here in Milwaukee, 1921, Oklahoma, places like Rosewood in Florida, different places, man, around the country, you name it. Those places were looking to galvanize that Black-owned moniker and keep it, that Black-owned vision and keep it. But has it run its course is my thought. I think Black owned is an identity. It's not automatically a business strategy. But if you can turn it to make it a business strategy, if people can go realize that it is a possible business strategy in Black owned, because I think that's where it can be a powerful strategy when it builds trust. It communicates real cultural knowledge. It connects the community to the company. It connects the community to the company. A Black-owned hair care. Imagine this: a Black-owned hair care company may understand black hair better. But in our community, our black hair care is sold, is packaged and sold by another group of individuals. And there, if y'all didn't hear what I reported yesterday, our people with hair extensions, are the hair extension community or industry is now being subject to regulation by the FDA because the hair extensions, and as researched by actual black researchers, hair extensions are toxic. But they're still, but those hair extensions, out of all those companies are being sold in Asian stores. Now, I'm not coming at the Asian community and telling them, man, stop selling, because it's their right. It's their right in a global economy. And they got the largest, part of the largest market share on it. But if we could say, man, this is what we need to do for ourselves because we understand black hair better, that community can grow. And I see a lot of people doing it. It's on social and stuff like that. But it's not under the business strategy of Black-owned. A Black-owned wellness company may understand Black health concerns and cultural experiences of Black families. A Black-owned media company may cover stories just like us. We cover stories that are central to the Black experience, better than other outlets who don't have the experience that we have. That is a strategy. We don't have to call ourselves black on. Shoot, we call ourselves the truth. Truth Nation, we'll be right back in 3 minutes. That was good. That was good. Welcome back to the Grapevine. Welcome back to the Grapevine. And we were just talking about black-owned businesses and what you would call a black-owned business. And do you hold it to the same standards that you would if you were in a non-black-owned establishment? And this was good. This was a really, really good subject because I'm very interested in what people will do when they hear black-owned business. And I had this conversation around with someone around this, and it actually was a pretty interesting and heated type of discussion because I had the person who said black owned means everything, but in reality, it for me, it doesn't. It doesn't. I think if you have quality first before you have black owned, then you can win. You can definitely win. So, man, I'm gonna pivot real quick because y'all can't use your beaches. You cannot use your beaches. And Robert Lance, yes, real quick, shout out to Homer and Bailey for their segment that they're doing this. I love it too. I love it. You can't use your beaches at all. Not in Milwaukee. They said approximately all the beaches are done. All the beaches are out of commission. It said that you got to, and I want y'all to sit with this. We call ourselves the freshwater capital of the world. We are Milwaukee, freshwater capital of the world. We live beside one of the largest freshwater systems on the planet. If you haven't thought about it, it is Lake Michigan. It is the lake system that we have in this area right now. Straight up. But this week, if you're a parent looking for something free to do with their children, you can't go to Bradford Beach. You can't go to McKinley. You can't go to South Shore. You can't, like, yeah, you can, you know, sunbathe all you want, but you cannot go under the water. The swimming is closed due to sewer overflow. So the sand is still good. You go to the playgrounds, all the other amenities, they're open. But the water, you got to stay out because they said that there is under normal conditions. So I'm going to explain. They said they have dangerous bacteria. And when it touches your children, it could affect them and also infect them. So part of Milwaukee and Shorewood still uses what they call a combined water system. That means rainwater running off of streets and wastewater from homes and businesses, they enter the same exact system. But under normal conditions, that water travels to a treatment plant and gets treated. We all know where the water treatment facilities are. There's a number of them. But when extreme heavy rain pours more water into the system that it can hold and or process, officials, they face a hard choice. Either allow the sewage to back up into people's basements and potentially flood the homes, or release some of it, a mixture of the storm water and untreated wastewater. Y'all know what the wastewater is. Come on. You know what the wastewater is. So they released this combination into the rivers and also Lake Michigan. So that release, they call that sewer overflow. And on August 1st, approximately 96 million gallons, 96 million gallons overflowed on August 1st. And that's according to MMSD. That's Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewage District. 96 million gallons overflowed. That's storm water mixed with untreated wastewater into the rivers and Lake Michigan. Early this year, in April, there was a big storm, and that released 2.7 billion gallons of combined sewer overflow. So altogether, it's 2.8 billion gallons of that combination flowing into our rivers and also Lake Michigan. Together, MMSD reports more than 2.8 billion gallons overflowing in our water. And we need to be real precise, because that total isn't just 2.8 billion gallons of pure human waste. It's not that. It's combined overflows. So it contains a huge amount of rain, groundwater mixed with, you know, basically untreated sewage, industrial waste, street pollution. So if you're polluting, and some of y'all are, this gets on my nerves, especially in Milwaukee. If you're riding, how many of y'all ride down the street and have witnessed somebody take out of their raggedy car, take a McDonald's bag and just toss it out the window, or a diaper, or a soft drink, just toss it. It goes, where do we think that garbage goes? Even if you had a street sweeper, that garbage still has to go and flow somewhere. It'll go and flow to our sewers. Therefore, we're drinking, we are bathing in quite possibly really poor quality water. Y'all don't, if we have to do better, we have to do better. Littering does not work. Littering doesn't work. Pollution, street pollution, industrial waste does not work at all. So if you have, if you see any of you, if you see any of your people and they're, just pick up the waste. That's all you got to do. That's all you have to do. So why are the beaches closed? Why did the beach close? Why did the beaches close? The beach closures, they even said, the MMSD, they said the beach closures are preventative. They're clearly preventative. Y'all, listen, this affects you. Water is the new war. This affects you tremendously. Yes, not only does this happen, you're right, Robert. Not only does this happen, yeah, we may not be surprised that it happens every summer, but it's becoming even more and more of a problem when they're constantly dumping waste in a freshwater body of water. And not only are we using, not only are we wasting, are we putting that water into a freshwater, we're constantly polluting it, let alone the companies that are upstream and also downstream and across the water that are dumping into that water. And that water is still subsisting. And we have to subsist with that water. Shout out to the Freshwater Science Department at UWM. Shout out to you guys. And shout out to all the organizations that are Adams Garden at many different places, including Adams Garden Park, that are doing their thing for our communities. But we have to do our part as a community in Milwaukee. We cannot continue to pollute, because that water has to go right back to us. And although we think, yeah, man, we're taking a shower, we got a water filter, we got water softeners, we have all of this, that does not mean that the water is still pure. That does not mean that it's like you, I don't know, however many of you have been on a mountain or in a mountain, but or on top of a mountain and seeing water run from the top of a mountain down. But at the top of the mountain is that water is clean, it's pure, it's, you know, you can drink it. As soon as it hits the bottom of the mountain, a lot of times, you got to kind of, you got to filter that water, because it's coming with all the sediment and all the pollution from that particular mountain. That's the same thing, the same concept with this water. It's the same concept. The same concept. We literally have to watch what we do in relationship to pollution. So health officials in Milwaukee, they instantly know what is in every wave washing in onto shore. The conventional bacteria testing can take time. So after an overflow, officials may close the swimming area because there is an increased risk of microorganisms. So that can include, and I'm going to give you, before you jump into that water, here's the warning sign. There's an elevated risk for E. coli and other organisms that may cause some type of stomach illness, vomiting, diarrhea, skin irritation, eye infections, ear problems. I mean, come on. It's a lot. It is a lot. Milwaukee, when we come back, we're going to continue on our pathway in understanding why the beaches are closed in Milwaukee. Stay tuned. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Grapevine. You're on the award-winning The Truth 101.7 Radio, and we're about to pick some more grapes. I'm your host, Manon Sabir, the Grapevine. And yes, we're talking about the sewage water runoff, and the Milwaukee beaches are closed. It's summertime. It's supposed to be hot. You're supposed to be at the beach. You're supposed to be invested in kicking it with your kids, having fun, even when it's 65, 70 degrees outside. It's okay. Hit the beach, but you can't. You can only hit part of the beach. You can't go into the water because our water is closed. How is water closed? How is water closed? No more. You can't go swimming in the water. How long will this last? Again, you got your kids at home. Y'all want to do something. You got water babies. I got a water baby. My daughter loves going to the beach. Loves the beach. Loves the water. Loves going to the places where she needs to be in order to be in the water. Not just the pool. The pool, sometimes this little girl would be like, man, I don't want to go to the pool. I want to go to the water where there's waves and sand. She throw the sand in the air. That's when she sees water, it's time to go. It's time to go. And we lived on the beach. And living on the beach, we recognize that it is the world's largest playground. It's the world's largest playground. Nothing but water and land. That's all you got. So, you know, for a little girl or, you know, our young people, they don't understand that the sand is open and not open or not open because a sewer system miles away became overwhelmed. I think honestly, we deserve and demand answers. We deserve and demand answers. And if our community isn't outraged, if our community isn't outraged about our water, then we're doing something wrong. Because not only is this water, some of this water has to go back into our system. So we have to filter the water, whatever water comes back into our system, wherever that water comes from, has to come right back to us. We have to bathe in it. We have to shower with it. We have to wash our dishes with it. And what is actually in that water, even if it's treated, what is actually in that water? Matter of fact, they had to cut the fluoride. The cleaning agent, the agent that kind of disinfects the water, they had to cut the fluoride in our Milwaukee County water. They did. So now, and then not only that, here's another thing. It's unconfirmed, and I thought I wouldn't talk about this, but I think I need to in relationship to water. But unconfirmed attack by Iran is affecting the IT systems and the computer systems of some of our water systems in the Midwest and around the country. So y'all, water is it when we talk about water, it is a really serious issue. It's very serious. So at the very least, if you are around somebody or in your neighborhood, do us a favor. Do you a favor and clean up. Clean up the pollution. Do not let it get to the sewage, the grates. Clean out the sewage grates. Protect yourself, of course, at all times. It's like you fighting the sewer. But do that. And make sure that you are alerting your government officials, politicians, and letting them know what is going on in your community and how you're trying to combat it. And they will help you. They will help you because this has to be a community level event all the time. So that's why, you know, that's back to our sewage water runoff, when you go down to the to Bradford Beach, McKinley, South Shore, when you see those signs have to be visible. If they're not visible, let an official know. This is why parents straight up need clear information and to give to their kids before they go anywhere. Before they go anywhere, nobody should be near the water and, you know, assume that swimming is safe. Nah. If a beach is marked closed, do not let the children go in. Do not put your feet in. Do not let the dogs drink it. They can get sick. Avoid swallowing the water, touching it. People can be contaminated. You can be contaminated. But here's the bigger question. Here's the bigger question. Here's where the story gets bigger than this week's closure. Are these overflows unavoidable acts of nature? Are these overflows unavoidable acts of nature? Can we avoid these overflows? What do y'all think? I truly do think that we can. Or are they warnings? Or are they warnings that our infrastructure just hasn't kept pace with the weather Milwaukee is experiencing? Is our weather becoming more dangerous? Or are these overflows just, you know, are they simply unavoidable acts? I'm really just interested in this. 1 inch of rain across MMSD, like across their service area, produces and represents approximately 7.1 billion gallons of water. 7.1 billion gallons of water. Think about that. The rain comes down, it hits the roof, it hits parking lots, it hits streets, it hits Center Street, North Avenue, Villard, Clark, Valete, Washington Heights, Metcalf Park. it's all these places, right? The sewer system fills up. The deep tunnel that we have, that we spent money on, fills up. The treatment facility, the treatment capacity fills up. It's strained. And then eventually something has to give. It has to give. It has to give. And what happens? There's sewage runoff. Something, this combination of rainwater and sewage, it starts overflowing. And y'all remember when we had the MMSD deep tunnel project? I don't know, some of y'all were young. I remember I was younger. But we had the deep tunnel project. And this area, before that, this area, Milwaukee, was experiencing 50 to 60 combined overflows per year. Per year. And luckily, because of that deep tunnel project, Milwaukee only experiences 2.2 overflows per year. That's significantly lower. However, because the event of rain is such a large event, now we're experiencing an overflow and we may need a deeper tunnel type of project. I'm not a systems or water systems engineer, nor am I a water infrastructure engineer, but there has to be some type of change. And it probably is a change on the community level. It probably is a change on the community level. If you do not have a rain barrel, grab one. Get one. If you don't have access to better piping in your home, aim to get better plumbing and piping in your home so water can flow cleanly to the sewage. This is impactful, no beach should be closed, not one bit. Not one bit. The beaches should be open. Our kids should enjoy it. Man, I remember when I was young, Milwaukee River was on and popping. Like, it was just starting to, they were just starting some projects around there. But I remember my dad even talking about Milwaukee River and also swimming in Lake Michigan. And but there were no, for that, for him, and me, even me as a young kid, there weren't any closures. Now there's closures. Come on. Come on. We should have the best beach. We should have the best water. It's a fresh water. It's a body of fresh water right there. Hey, y'all. When we come back, we're going to have some fun. We're going to talk. We're going to close this out, and we're going to play a couple of videos. We'll be back in a minute. Be back in three. Welcome back to The Grapevine. We're picking some more grapes. I'm your host, Manon Sabir. And you're on the award winner, The Truth 101.7. And looking to discover and support local businesses in our community, then make sure you tune in every Friday at 8 a.m. to Truth in the Morning with Homer Blow and Bailey Coleman for What the Business Is, powered by We Energies. Each week, you'll hear from local business owners as they share what their business is, where they're located, and one valuable lesson they've learned along the way. We Energies is proud to help power local businesses and the communities they serve. Don't miss What the Business Is every Friday at 8 a.m. only on Truth in the Morning with Homer Blow and Bailey Coleman, powered by We Energies, delivering the energy that powers local business. And the True Family Fest. Y'all got to come. Y'all got to be at the True Family Fest. Straight up. August 22nd from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Riverside University High School is free and fun for the entire family, featuring great music, community resources, family activities, and back-to-school support to help students get ready for a successful school year. If you're interested in volunteering, make sure you come out and volunteer. You got to visit The Truth's website at 1017thetruth.com to complete the volunteer form or by emailing sierra.brown@milwaukeeblackmedia.com. Bring the whole family and experience one of Milwaukee's favorite community celebrations, True Family Fest, Saturday, August 2nd, between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. Special thanks to Educators Credit Union, American Family Insurance, Milwaukee Public Schools, Artists Working in Education, City of Milwaukee, Department of Community Wellness and Safety, and Extension. Yes, welcome back. Ooh, if I haven't told y'all real quick, I'm going to tell y'all before I even get off the air. If I haven't told y'all I love y'all straight up. Sandra, what is up? Talk to me. This is my free section.
Okay, good. Hi. What we up? Love you too. A lot. Okay, you were talking about the water, and I was just wondering, we made it where you can buy water, so that's somebody set up businesses that way. So, I mean, how are they using water? Plus, I think it seems like to me everything that's disappearing, they want us to do free, like scan your own groceries, this and that. Now, we don't get no discount. We scan and scan. And it's just like the water thing. I guess it's going to be us taking out the water, and then we got to do all of that free, and they boost water out to Waukesha and all this stuff. So it's got to be clean. They can go to the moon, and there's always a problem down here on this earth. I think they need to stay out of Mars and come down to earth and fix our problems.
Really?
Yeah. You see them spaceships going up there all the time.
Mm.
They pollute the air. Don't they pollute airplanes? They say the smoke off the airplanes pollute. Everything is polluting. So I think man knows what to do. It's a black guy I saw one time.
Yeah.
And he takes the raindrops out of the sky. Uh-huh. And he's got some kind of machine that can convert it into clear water where you can drink it.
Yep.
And every now and then he pops up on the internet, and they will not accept his you probably won't sell them the patent.
Yeah.
And, you know, they won't accept it that way. You know, they got people that come up with ideas. I think they don't want, they want the patent so they can make the money off of it.
You know, there's a lot of people, a lot of black people are working in water right now. And I think there's even, just stay on the line real quick, because there's people that are working in ocean tech. Ocean tech is the next wave of future for people who are in technology. And if you are not in it, for this is for our, if you have people, young people around you, listen to me. If they're not in ocean tech and also space tech, they're going to miss the boat. You know, ocean tech, they need HVAC, they need plumbing, they also need people in that are computer scientists, all of that. If you are any industry that is in technology or associated with technology, they are using that for those particular areas, space and also ocean, water. Mm-hmm. So water is highly, highly important. For me right now, I think it's the new war.
Mm-hmm. It is.
If we don't have water, we're in trouble.
Yeah, if we don't have whatever, everything goes down. It says everything shuts down on us. And how are we going to start it back up? We can't. Because
right.
It's shut down, so we got to prepare in advance. That's what they always say. And, you know, they got a water center down there in the viaduct, in that valley area. Mm-hmm. You can go toward Holton,
yep.
And you can pass it going south.
Mm-hmm.
And that was supposed to help us. That's supposed to be studying the water, too.
Yeah, that's the freshwater science associated with UWM. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, tell us about it. You telling the truth. Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah. Thank you, Sandra. Yeah, so the freshwater science department at UWM they are one of the leading freshwater science departments in the world. They study fresh water. If we do not have fresh water, we are bathing in dirty water, straight up. We are drinking dirty water, straight up. It is affecting us. It affects the soil. It affects the air. It affects how we live if we do not have clean water. And if they don't understand, if this department doesn't work at its full capacity, then they're not benefiting Milwaukee. So what do we have to do? We have to win the war. We have to win the war in our communities on pollution. We have to win the war on pollution. We do not have we do not need to have our children standing at closed beaches at all. So I think I probably have more questions than in anything. How much more infrastructure investment will it take to prevent these releases? How much more? And, you know, pose this question to your politicians. How much more infrastructure investment will it take to prevent these releases? Are we preparing for, you know, these large rain patterns in Milwaukee? Because Milwaukee, you know, I think Milwaukee 40 years ago didn't have these large rain patterns, but now we're experiencing these large waves of rain patterns that are affecting us tremendously. So, you know, I had a little fun today. I had a lot of fun talking about something serious, but now today the rest of this show, we only got a couple minutes. I'm going to have a little fun. And, you know, I was surfing Instagram, and I wanted to have a feel-good moment at the end of my show. And I found a video. The video is this. Let's play it. Nah, I'll talk y'all through it. It's kind of fun.
Sure, I think his name is Bernie Mac. He's in bad word sometimes, but maybe this is his church style. I don't know. He say, "I'm scaring motherfuckers." Even I think I'm blessed. I'm hung low. If I pull my stuff out, this whole room get dark. Kick it. You don't understand.
No, Mom.
Hmm?
I think you understand.
What?
Do you know what he's talking about?
Of course. He be pulling his heart out. It's dark. And then Jesus can fix it.
Oh, my God.
Why? That's not what he means? By discovering this.
Listen, y'all, you got to have a little fun. When we talk about real serious subjects, you got to have a little fun, man. Like, there's a lot of times when you are looking at all of these accountabilities and responsibilities, you have to dig into your heart and find the silver lining where some of this is, you know, at the end of the day, it matters, but then it doesn't a little bit. It doesn't necessarily matter. You got to pull the kid out. So there's times I have to pull the kid out. But I want you guys to realize that if you're out this weekend, this week, and you want to have a little fun, you want to be with your family, go do it. Please do not pollute. Please go visit Sherman Park grocery store. Please have the best moral example. If you own a business, shop the best businesses possible, even if they label themselves black owned or not, it does not matter. You got to have a high standard for yourself, and you should expect a high standard for others that are serving you. If I haven't told you once, I'll tell you again. I do love you. I love you. I love you. And we got Jazz, Tap In with Jazz Tyler, coming up next. Please do not walk away from that dial. We're out.